Blog Talk Radio.
Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio. We have a special guest today. We have a candidate from the 66th District for State Representative, Stacy Earle. All right, Stacy is with us. Stacy, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Great. I guess a good place to start would be just to kind of let people know about you and where you're at, where you're from. Now, I believe your district is in Boone County up in North Kentucky, correct?
Yes, I am in Boone County. I'm a mother, a business owner, and I've been in Boone County for about 30 years. I was raised here myself, and now I'm raising my children here.
Awesome. What business do you do?
I own a chiropractic office, and I'm a massage therapist. And it's also in Boone County.
That definitely takes a lot of skill. Did you have to get a couple degrees for that, or as far as with the chiropractic?
No, I own the business. I am the massage therapist. I did have to get a license for that. My background is really in management. I've managed many retail stores. So over the last 3 years, I decided to open a multidisciplinary practice. So we have chiropractic, massage, and acupuncture.
Now, when we talk about getting involved in politics, and I know a lot of people who have to deal with, doing business on their own and stuff like that, they really kind of have a hands-on experience with understanding issues of taxation and stuff like that. What were some of your motivations for even just getting politically involved?
Well, it actually started when my daughter came home from school last year and said that Facebook had created her curriculum. That was very concerning, given all the things that Facebook's been involved in, politically motivated data collection. I asked to see what the curriculum was, and we got into the history section, and it was all incorrect. There was a large portion on Islam, the Quran, and the Sunnah, and then what it did cover on Christianity, the very small piece that it had, had called it a superstitious religion, and that the Trinity was developed by three men. So that kind of started where I got involved talking to other parents in the community. There isn't a true awareness of what the site-based councils do in Kentucky. I think that is by design, but your site-based councils actually control the curriculum, who's hired in your schools. They really control everything that happens in your school. We had to do some research in order to find out what was really happening with this curriculum in the schools. The teachers are not teaching anymore. They're called mentors, and they meet with your student for 10 minutes a week to guide them through the curriculum and goal them. So the curriculum that's loaded into the computer is actually what your child is sitting in front of all day. YouTube uploads, they only had to pass 8 out of 10 multiple choice questions to get through a chapter So there were some students that had completed their school year and 7 or 8 weeks of school. And then we started to find out more about the data collection, the contracts that the Summit program had the school sign, as well as tricking parents into signing it as well.
Let me make sure we get things organized. You said the name of the program, you said it's the Summit. Is that correct?
Summit Personalized Learning, yes.
Okay. Summit Personalized Learning. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Is this just in your section of the state, or has this been produced in other parts of the country?
It started 2 years ago in a charter school in California. And from there, they've grown it to there are pockets all over the United States. And this year, he actually took it globally. It is a push for global education, which I know is part of the UN's agenda. And it is funded by Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates. They offer it to the school as a free program to get their buy-in, as well as free professional development for the teachers in the school, which I know in a couple of schools here, it saved them a couple $100,000 a year.
Yeah. It's kind of weird because it kind of reminds me of like if a cult came and said, oh, yeah, we'll educate your child for free, you know. Like, it's almost kind of like let's raise your child for free too, you know. But
absolutely.
You
know, in this process, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Most of Kentucky's been under the auspices of this Common Core program. They've kind of fused that into the curriculum. And also that had Bill Gates behind that as well. I protested it back in 2013. And so it's kind of interesting what's happening is because you have these multi-corporations taking over your child's education. So I think that's something interesting because it sounds like they're kind of taking it a step further than Common Core, and that's amazing because Common Core was taking things extremely advanced as far as like the socializing education.
Absolutely. Boone County is participating in several of these programs, the Cradle to Career. They participate in anything that's going to give them money, and a lot of it comes from the social impact bonds, where you have private capital from their foundations. They will pay for the public sector's education. So they will only pay for it, though, if it is a successful program. So they will seed their digital curriculums into our schools that way. But they'll only pay for it if it's success. So they'll define the terms of what the success looks like, and the school then engineer how to be successful so that they can keep that money. And in return, they'll do their digital programs, and then Mark Zuckerberg can then say that his program is successful.
Hmm. Now, is it instituted completely in Boone County? In other words, like, is everybody in this program from like kindergarten on through, or is it just a few select, or how's that working out?
Because we're operated under site-based councils, each school does have a choice on what they use. It is currently being used in 3 of our middle schools, and next year they plan to take it school-wide. They are utilizing it in some of the elementary schools already. They allow the parents to make the choice as to whether or not their children are enrolled. But in the middle schools, it's not optional. Those kids are put into the program. Mm.
Now, tell me about how did this work out as far as like your experience with it? You said start out, you hear from your kid that it's going on. What happened as far as like, when you talk to the teachers and how did they interact with you and stuff?
There definitely is an indoctrination, and you can tell by all the buzzwords that they use. A few of the teachers I have really good relationships with did not like the program. Several teachers walked out when the school had decided to implement the program because they did not believe that kids could learn solely by sitting in front of a computer with information uploaded into it, calling it, they were saying that there would be no more stand-up and delivery. We're not spoon-feeding your child information anymore, even though studies show that that actually is the best way to educate. So the teachers were not happy with it, but they're really not allowed to voice their concerns. They are retaliated on because it doesn't align with the administration and their schools.
It does get kind of weird. You know, why does somebody go through and get a degree in something where all they're doing is just, you know, passing the buck along? And, of course, I don't think they got into those, you know, they didn't go into education for that purpose. They didn't take the time to study. I know, like, my mom, she was a public school educator. Not only did she get a degree and a master's degree, but she would have to go back for different conferences and things like that and keep up to date with the latest methods and all that kind of stuff for years. And it's kind of funny that, you know, they're going to take that and they're going to say, well, no, we'll just take the whole process out of your hands and, you know, we're the industrialists and we'll just have everything taken over. But it kind of reminds me of, you know, the word that kind of comes to my mind is fascism, where fascism is where you have the industries using a socialism to influence the society. So the merchants and all that class kind of take over. And so you have Mark Zuckerberg, you have, who we've mentioned this before.
Bill Gates, yeah.
Bill Gates and the Bill Gates Foundation. You have them influencing society at a very, you know, minute level.
Yeah, they actually refer to our children as human capital. So that in itself is disturbing, and that the education is no longer focused on providing our children with education for our children. It's more about providing human capital to industry at this point. So education isn't for our kids anymore. It's for the industry.
And, you know, it used to be something where it was like, this was just supposed to be a service, you know, like school, the whole motto used to be reading, writing, arithmetic, you know, get your basics, get that stuff down. And that's all they have to do. That's all that the purpose was for. It had nothing to do with, we're going to take your kid, we're going to raise your kid, or anything like that. It just really undermines the whole nature of our government and our way of life, where you have a constitution, where you have free citizens, and the citizens really inform the government as opposed to vice versa. You know, and as soon as you have that, you know, you have this favoritism of an economic class that kind of comes in and says, okay, we'll inform the citizens. We'll take that, you know, we'll take the responsibility. That means what? We take the freedom. And, yeah,
right.
It's definitely something very sad. Now, what has there been any progress that has been capable of being made up to the point where, you know, now you're running for office, obviously, but has there been any headway made, or was it just kind of said, nothing's, you know, have they kind of dug in their heels and said nothing's going to change?
Well, it's interesting because there are parent groups at each of the schools trying to stop Summit personalized learning in their school. We have been very vocal at our site-based council meetings. We've been very vocal at school board meetings. We turned the schools into the OEA, which is the Office of Education Accountability. They did write the superintendent, Randy Poe, up, and they wrote two of the principals up for violating site-based council laws. The problem is, even going through this process that took a year to get them written up, they told us during the process, when I say they, I mean the principals, said it doesn't matter that OEA is investigating, they're only going to remand us to training. So in the write-ups at the very end, it does say that they're just remanded to more training, which I think is disgusting that they can not listen to the citizens, take your child, do whatever they want, and there's no recourse for the parents because the OEA essentially is your last resort. And the, I mean, it's even in the name, accountability, but I'm not sure what accountability there really is coming from the OEA. The Professional Standards Board was another avenue that we tried, and they wouldn't even return our phone calls. We had sent them packets, zip drives of everything, and called them. When I say we, I'm talking about 60 parents or more making phone calls every day to not receive one return phone call. It's appalling. They essentially own your child's mind, and they're not letting parents have a say in this process.
Yeah, you know, it's sad because, you know, when you get involved with this stuff, you start to find out that, like, this has been an ongoing process. This has been, you know, a constant fear that we've been warning against, and then there it is. It just pops out there. You know, the fact that, you know, we talk about, okay, well, we can't have God brought up in the classroom because that's a separation of church and state. But the teacher can comment on my religion, or actually not the teacher, but like the mystery informant. You know, the fact that like, oh, okay, well, this group is going to inform your kid about religion, and it's going to create their worldview. Okay, I mean, it's almost right. Basically having a power over the soul to a point. You know, I mean,
right.
Because the parents don't have any say in this. So it is basically, you know, stepping on their rights, kidnapping their time.
Right.
Well, let me ask you, what are some solutions? Okay, good.
Oh, I was going to say there is a big push also. Oh, I'm sorry. There is a big push in the schools for, it's called Global Citizenship. It's a program that they have taken to the extreme. It's in this curriculum. And that's also a big part of what's happening in our schools that I don't think parents are even seeing. And a lot of how they're able to do this is through the data collection, because everything these kids do is literally on the computer. So even in the contracts, it said that they would share the data with third parties as they deem necessary, and it wouldn't even outline exactly what information they were taking. And even that the parent portals that you had to log in to view your child's curriculum were part of the data collection. They would take it even from the parents. In the data collection, you're also looking at predictive analytics, and the contracts also stated that they could change the curriculum at any point in time that they deemed necessary. So they're able to track your student. They're able to take the metadata, how your child responds to things. And even with surveys, I don't know how many parents are aware that there are multiple surveys going around in schools. One of them, we actually asked the principal where the survey came from and who it's going to, and they didn't even know, told to do it. I asked my daughter what was on the survey. Of course, I told her she was not allowed to take it, but she said it was asking if you feel safe in your home, if there's weapons in your home, how many guns do you own, things like that. Like, they are collecting so much data on our kids and then using them as human capital, using the predictive analytics to put them into certain career pathways and for workforce, which is commonly, you know, they'll work with the industry locally to come up with what career pathways they should offer in the school. So it's a very organized structure that I think parents aren't even aware of that are happening to their kids. And of course, they present it in a way with the spin on it that this is good. This is good for our community. This is good for your child. And like you said, they need to be educated. They need to be enlightened on how to live in a republic. And then, of course, none of those things are actually taught to these kids.
Yeah, and, a good description of this is violence. In other words, the fact that they feel like they can steal your privacy. And actually, they're
right.
using your children against you. I mean, you know, why on earth should a school even have the right to ask how many weapons a person has in their home? Why do they need to know that information?
Right.
You know, and so
absolutely,
when we start to get this, and it's also treasonous. Global citizen. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I have a nation. I have borders. There is something specifically that I give to. When I pay my taxes, I'm not paying Mexico's taxes. I'm not paying Russia's taxes. I'm paying for the United States government to protect me. I don't need another citizenship. You know,
right.
These ideas are just very violent to our identity. And it is amazing that that is going on. You know, people say, oh, conspiracy, blah, blah, blah. Well, what do you call that? What do you call
right.
a government that's trying to steal from me? That's trying to steal my rights. And it's not even, you know, quote, unquote, the government that I'm supposed to be pledging my allegiance to. So, yeah, this does get extremely dangerous.
I think also what people should be aware of. Sorry. I think one of the big things that people aren't aware of when I do talk to them, especially if they're not from Boone County, but they're from somewhere else in Kentucky, to really get an idea of the scope of this, Boone County is the third largest district in Kentucky. So, you know, you have Jefferson and Fayette, and then it's Boone County. So if this is happening here, and you also have to keep in mind that our superintendent sits as the VP of the Superintendent's Association. So he has his hands and others as well. And I'm trying to tell people, if this isn't in your school now, it's something that's coming, because you don't put something like that in one of the largest school districts and not expect it to trickle down. There is another county that is utilizing this in Kentucky, and they're utilizing it in the high schools. And she actually gave testimony on the charter school bill. You know, they're opposed to the charter school bill. She was a principal at the school, and she was talking about how awful charter schools are, and that she has this program in her school called Summit Personalized Learning, and that she thinks every school should utilize it. And the irony in it is that this is a charter school program. And there is not any information on this program that shows that it's ever been successful. So essentially our children are guinea pigs at this point, because it's only been
yeah.
This is its third year being in public schools.
Now, let me ask you this. You're running for state representative. What are some solutions through the state house that you hope to achieve?
I would like to sit on the education committee. I think it's important that we turn the conversation into the education we provide for the students and what we do for the students. Instead of making the student the product, we need to focus on making what we're doing all about what we're doing for the students instead. I think there also needs to be a definition. It needs to be clearly defined what education is. I think that's how they're able to get around doing digital curriculums. And Boone County filed a District of Innovation and a waiver request saying that they wanted teachers' aides, not teachers, so they're even wanting to take out an essential part of educating our kids at this point as well. So I think defining what education is, I think sitting on a curriculum committee, not allowing the social impact investing in our state, the per pupil spending, according to the Bluegrass Institute, says that Boone County spends $14,387 per pupil. I'm not understanding why we're not looking into where this money is actually going, and then holding them accountable for their spending. Because I know I did homeschool for my daughter, and I did not spend that kind of money to educate her. That's outrageous. And the fact that they keep asking for more money is beyond me. I think there needs to be forensic audits done, and I think there needs to be more of a public stay in the education. There needs to be
school
choice. Parents should, they call it school choice. I think it's parent choice. There should be tax write-offs for parents who spend money sending their children to private schools. I don't know why they're taxed on one end and then they have to spend all this money sending their kids to a private school. That doesn't seem right. And I know there's going to be lots of oppositions to those things. The man that I'm running against actually sits on our school board, and he's been very vocal, even on the school board, about not allowing charter schools because it takes public funding away from the public schools. They don't realize that the funding is actually taxpayer dollars and that we should have a say in what they do with our money and with our children. So I think that would also, you know, allow for some competition and have them change things if they are not holding students and allowing for charter schools. Yeah. I know that they passed the bill for charter schools, but it doesn't allow for any sort of funding. And then it puts the charter school under your local school board. And I can tell you right now, our school board's not going to allow us to have charter schools. And I'm assuming that most districts are like that.
And, you know, it's pretty messed up because the thing is that I have heard teachers complain that basically all that money is not actually making its way to the teachers. It's not making its way to your kids, you know, equipment and all that kind of stuff, that it's actually, you know, kind of secured somewhere within the board and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of that stuff going on. And if we're not getting a better product, we don't need to invest our money into it. And when they're taking our money, and they're just taking our money, you know, you don't have to have a kid to, you know, pay taxes for public schooling. But the fact is they're taking those money, and they're saying, well, we have absolute authority. No. You know, but that is the nature of the public school right now. They think that they have no accountability. You know, we control you. And you have no say.
Right.
And it is kind of, it's the biggest issue when we talk about government overreach. Education is by far the biggest issue where government overreaches. And, you know, we will lose our entire republic. I mean, the whole country. If we lose on the education issue, it's all gone. And,
right.
You know, unfortunately, I've seen conservatives awake to that. They've only woken up, though, in recent years. A lot of it, we've let it go for so long.
And
now,
I do think that is by design. Oh, sorry. I do think that is by design. Even just parents navigating through the government red tape on who we're supposed to talk to, where we're supposed to go, how can we stop this, who's next. Everything came back to your site-based council. You couldn't do anything through your school board. And then, like I said, the only other avenue you have is the OEA. And when the reprimand is to just give them more training, and in my mind, I'm thinking, yes, give them more training so they can do it again and better, so they can navigate around the parents even better is the way that I even see them utilizing that training.
Yeah. So now, let me ask this. With your campaign and stuff like that, let me ask you a couple other issues. Where do you stand on things economically? Do you believe that we need to shrink the size of our government? Do you believe that we need to have low taxes, or do you believe we have to have high taxes? Do you believe that – go ahead.
The less government involvement, I think, the better. I do think the government needs to shrink. I think they need to look at where they're spending money. I think it is disgusting that we pay in federal taxes, we pay in state taxes, and then we pay for property we already own, and then we pay for everything we buy. So how many times is, you know, $1 being taxed? It's being taxed several times. I definitely think we need to shrink the size of government, and I definitely don't think we need any new taxes. If anything, they need to take away some of the taxes. I know that businesses pay tangible taxes. That's for property you already own. Continue to tax it every year, even though they don't maintain it for you. So that there are several taxes that need to go away.
Now, one issue that's kind of popping up lately that's real popular is, you know, when we talk about law enforcement and legal immigration, do you believe, you know, like in Louisville's been kind of declared a sanctuary city where it will not deal with enforcing immigration laws and stuff like that. Do you believe that we need to protect illegal immigration, or do you believe that we need to enforce our immigration laws?
No, I absolutely think we should be enforcing our immigration laws. I'm not sure why we pick and choose parts of the laws that we follow and parts of the Constitution we follow. I don't understand how that's even legal to do that. But no, I'm against sanctuary cities.
Okay. What about, you know, the old pro-life, pro-choice debate? What do you believe about life? Does it begin at conception, or does it begin sometime after birth? How does that affect things with you?
No, I believe life begins at conception. I am pro-life. I believe that our Constitution protects the unborn.
Let's see here. And I'm trying to think if there's any, like, major issues that kind of pop up to me. Obviously, you've talked about, like, you believe in the Constitution. When it comes to judges and the judiciary and stuff like that, do you support the philosophy of a Constitution as a living, breathing document, or would you be an originalist and kind of consider things according to the context and intent of the way the Constitution was written?
I believe that the Constitution, the way it was written and its intent and its meaning, was divinely guided. And that is what we should follow. I don't believe that it's a living, breathing document.
Mm-hmm. All right. Trying to think if there's anything else. Where can people get a hold of you and your campaign?
Okay, so because I'm running as an independent, things definitely work differently than if I was running with a party. Right now, we are working on getting a website up. I do have a Facebook page, Stacey Earle. I started a Facebook page last year where I update information about what's going on in Boone County, and that one is called Concerned Parents, Boone County, Kentucky. I can let you know when we get the website up. It's just you have to do things very differently when you run as an independent. You have to have petitions filled out and file your paperwork. And I'm still working on my petition, and I'm assuming the website's going to be ready next week.
Okay. Is there a just wondering, sometimes it's like there's an independent because they're a third party, and there's independent just because they're just individually running. Would you identify yourself like with one particular political vein or group or ideology, or where would you be with that?
I definitely am a Christian conservative candidate. I have aligned myself with a lot of the beliefs that the Tea Party believes in, and Thomas Massey is by far, I think, the greatest hero and champion of the Constitution, and we're lucky to have him in Kentucky. But I have always been a registered independent, vote my values, basically. The Republican that's running, this is actually why this even came to fruition, is very liberal in his ideas. Like I said, he sits on our school board, raises our taxes every year from the school board, and he's not pro-life. And so it was necessary to run against him so that there's a real conservative voice to represent this district.
Yeah, and that is something that is often a sad story. You know, people think, well, I'm part of this party and therefore it guarantees, and it's like, no, that unfortunately that doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, right now in Louisville, a lot of people have voted for Mitch McConnell as senator, and now he's a Senate Majority Leader, and they're thinking, and specifically, they're just voting for him, because he was pro-life. And yet, he approved the budget, you know, very recently, approved the budget that gives millions and millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, which enables them to abort, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of babies every year. And, you know, that's the opposite. You know, you're taking tax money to abort babies, and people are voting for you because you're pro-life. You know, so there are a lot of times where, you know, the party just lets you down and has candidates that are voting opposite your values. So what are you going to do?
Right.
So,
no more
yeah,
straight
basically,
ticket.
So your election, I'm guessing that'll be in November then instead of May, right?
Yes, it is. I will be on the general election, not in the primary. Oh, they were able to get past doing a primary for this particular seat.
Interesting. We don't need a primary.
Well, no, the incumbent is Idia Wishner, and she waited till the last hours to file for primary and handed her campaign everything over to Ed Massey. So essentially she chose him to be her successor is what happened.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess is there anything else that you'd like to just let the audience know as we're kind of wrapping up?
I just urge the community to really get involved. I try to educate parents through the Concerned Parents page on Facebook about what site-based counsel is, what's happening in our schools. We have organized to where we have one parent who attends the site-based counsel meetings, one parent who goes to the school board meetings, and then we share information. I just really encourage parents to get involved so that you know what they are teaching your child, what they are doing in school. Talk to the teachers because the teachers cannot voice their opinions and what's going on, but they're more than happy to talk to parents one-on-one. If we don't get a hold of the education that our children are receiving, that's the key to our future.
I'll tell you what, Stacey, really appreciate you having the courage to step forward and to go into this campaign. Really, you have a lot of interesting stuff, and I definitely will be getting a hold of you to see if we can get your message out there to other people, because this is something that people extremely need to know. And unfortunately, you know, this is the stuff that people want to keep from the public, you know, instead of giving us the rest of the news. So I'll definitely be contacting you about that. I encourage people, and I will be praying for your candidacy and praying for your cause. So we'll keep that going.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. And we will see you all later on another episode of Kentucky and Grassroots Radio.